This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, this is Cruise Control, the car show on BFM. I'm Arif Roos, and welcome to part three of this week's show. In this part, I've got an interview with the former vice president of Mercedes-Benz Malaysia, Mr. Mark Ray. So without further ado, here it is. Over the past 5 years, Mercedes-Benz Malaysia has stormed to the front lines of the Malaysian automotive market, posting 5 successive annual sales records and hosting constant campaigns and launch gambits. Their presence and portfolio has grown tremendously to make the brand more visible and accessible to everybody. To find out what's behind the rise, I jumped on the opportunity to join Mercedes on one of their many media events. And this one was called The Ultimate Luxury Drive. The meeting point was Carcosa Srinagaru, a colonial building where a federal constitution was drafted and also where Crazy Rich Asians was filmed. There, we were told the plans. Drive to Ipoh in an S-Class, where we'll stay the night at the Banjaran Hot Springs to have a massage and a 5-course dinner, and of course, the opportunity to drive the entire Mercedes-Benz dream car lineup.
Morning, hi guys. How you doing? All good?
That's Mark Rain, the former Vice President of Sales and Marketing at Mercedes-Benz Malaysia.
We are looking for the G63.
Hi. G63?
Hi, how are you doing?
Oh, hi, morning.
It's out?
Yeah.
Then we take the GTC, just for the fun of it.
We were about to go for a drive in a rear-wheel-driven, 590-horsepower Mercedes-AMG GTC in thick monsoon rain. And I was going to ask him about how he's seen Mercedes-Benz Malaysia change over the years.
You've got as much time because now we're in the car and nobody can catch us. My position is VP or Vice President for Sales Marketing. At that stage, purely for Malaysia.
Yeah.
We were very fortunate. We were awarded in 2016 to become the regional office for Southeast Asia.
Yeah.
So my role expanded to a certain degree. So we handle markets from Sri Lanka down to the South Pacific Sea, from Fiji to islands around there.
So it's not just Malaysia?
No, no. Obviously, Malaysia being the biggest market in that area.
Yeah.
Now, I'll answer the rest of the question later.
Yep, it was that kind of interview.
The power, the speed, the sound. My area of responsibility covers basically, it starts from the vehicle preparation center, where we take over cars from the production plant. We ensure that the quality is up to the highest Mercedes-Benz standards. It goes through our product management, where we determine what our product portfolio is going to be, the pricing of the vehicles, homologation, certification, all areas of sales, including our dealer network, marketing activities, branding, product placement, CRM, the full spiel, basically.
Yeah.
So it's very exciting, it's very diverse, very challenging, because you finish in Malaysia, then the markets start, or vice versa, so it never becomes boring if you want it that way.
10 years ago, Mercedes saw their sales dwindling and their cars being exclusively driven by the older generation. And like everybody else in Malaysia, their approach to selling cars was very conservative. They had their bread and butter models with a few niche cars here and there, but no real interesting variants across the segment. So, for example, if you wanted a sporty big engine C-Class, you had to get Mercedes to bring one from Germany as a special order. But then import costs and excise duties means that you're better off spending that kind of money on a bigger, more stately, local e-class. But what if you don't have that kind of money, or don't need something that big, or don't feel as if you've become a manager yet? Your only option was to go to a different brand. But today, you have the option to stick with Mercedes-Benz.
When I came here, what I did first is I did a thorough analysis, looking at where there are further areas for potentials for Mercedes-Benz, where can we improve the brand presence in Malaysia, and I saw many areas of opportunities, and that's not disregarding the job we've done in the past, but I felt we as a brand needed to step up our game. I would actually say in all areas, and that's not critical because you constantly need to stay hungry and progress as a brand. So if you look at the marketing communication side, for instance, I felt we were not progressive enough, not youthful enough. We were not desirable enough. Mercedes-Benz has always been the luxury brand of choice in the premium automotive market. Yeah. But we need to be modern luxury.
Yeah.
So we need to be desirable, progressive, approachable in a way. Also, that approachable factor is very important because you don't want to be perceived as arrogant or aloof. But people need to aspire to own Mercedes-Benz vehicles.
Yeah.
And in that sense, it was our task to rejuvenate the brand to a certain degree. But also looking at communication and PR, I think we weren't as present as we should be.
Yeah.
And that goes hand in hand with our product portfolio. So the first thing I initiated is a product offensive. Our product portfolio at that stage in Malaysia was too thin to a certain degree. And looking at the past years, I mean, that's something which I'm rather proud of, over 50 launches in 4.5 years.
Yeah.
I think nobody expected us as a brand to come with such a vengeance in terms of aggressively launching cars all over the show. That doesn't dilute the exclusivity and the premium and luxury factor of the brand. It just gives you more relevance. A lot of people ask, doesn't it dilute the exclusivity of the brand? I say clearly no. It gives the widest choice to our discerning customers, and our customers are demanding. I mean, they're movers and shakers in the Malaysian market, so they deserve to have that wide variety and choice, and they want personalized, customized cars. They don't only want the standard solution, if you want it that way. And then that's what we targeted. Obviously, you can't change things overnight. And it's always everyone, it's a team effort. Probably I've given a lot of the impulses, but also, for instance, if we look at what we've done on the network side, together with our dealers, we've invested hugely into our network, upgrading our network, providing the capacity to service all the cars we've sold, delivering on our promise of that first-class experience and service, which we promised to our customers. One crucially important aspect was also the strategy which we came up with to align that amongst all our stakeholders. Now, I can have the biggest plans, but if it's not aligned and supported by our dealer network, I'm going to be a teethless tiger, if you want it that way.
Yeah.
And I must say, I'm extremely happy how much the dealers have given us their trust, how much they've gone on this journey with us and gave us their confidence in saying, okay, yeah, I believe in our plans. And it was making sure that we involve all stakeholders and we create this ecosystem where success is possible. I mean, obviously the central stakeholder is always the customer,
yeah.
But looking at dealers, looking at partners like event agencies, which, for instance, it's crucially important that you explain the strategy and the direction and that they actually buy into it. And you never can do that by yourself. And so, for instance, if you look at our EQ concept car, I still remember the first time we actually met in Huckleberry's that morning for breakfast, where I kind of lectured you about what I want to do, how I want to launch this new sub-brand of Mercedes-Benz, which is all about electric intelligence.
Yeah.
And getting your stakeholders to buy into that, to believe in your plan, is crucially important.
With this product offensive, Mercedes-Benz Malaysia launched over 50 cars in 4.5 years, bringing lesser-known models like the AMG C43, the S-Class Convertible, the A-Class Saloon, a G-Wagon, and even 4 different versions of the CLS. And when they were launched, the gambits were always bigger, grander, and the messaging felt more clinical.
I mean, one of the most probably crucial deciding steps which I took is to dissect our portfolio into 4 product groups. Because that allows me to curate the tonality in which we address the target audience. Now, you talk about the GLA 45 launch. That's a lot more edgy, progressive, provocative, youthful, if you compare that to, for instance, the S-Class launch, the pinnacle of luxury last year in August.
Oh, yes.
Very exclusive, very luxurious, very sophisticated to a certain degree. And even the dress code or how I dress. So I launched the A-Class and I wear black grip jeans. I launched the S-Class family and I wear a tuxedo. So playing with those themes, that's crucially important because it creates a certain degree of excitement in the market and people appreciate that. They acknowledge that. It gives them a certain recognition. Oh, now it's the S-Class. That is really the pinnacle of luxury in the automotive industry. In my view, that was my highlight launch. The S-Class is synonymous with luxury and Mercedes-Benz next to the E-Class, obviously.
Yeah.
and the expectations to fulfill that of our S-Class customers or to exceed that, that was the biggest challenge. And I think when we launched the S-Class family last year in August, that was the talk of the town. So it's also showing what's possible in Malaysia, because I feel often, wrongly so, people look at Malaysia, say, yeah, we're small Malaysia, and they look to other places as close as Singapore or China or the US or whatever. But if you look what we've done over the past years, just looking at the SUV launch recently, I mean, who would have thought a few years ago that Craig David comes to Malaysia to support the launch of a Mercedes-Benz SUV? That was just so, so cool.
Mark tells me that these huge launch events such as Electric Intelligence, the Future Talk Convention and the Hungry for Adventure Festival is less about selling cars. It's about creating relevance, accessibility and presence for the brand and then projecting it to the wider audience in the hope that people respond and recognize the brand in a very positive way. It's long-term branding.
Now, in theory, how many people in Malaysia can afford an S-Class Coupe or an S-Class Cabriolet or an S-Class Maybach or an S-Class in itself? But for me, the important factor is it's giving brand awareness for Mercedes-Benz. It's making the brand relevant. And now, if you can afford an S-Class or you're in the A-Class league, it's important to have that relevance, to stay top of the mind. And whenever, can we turn around here? What does that say?
Slow down.
Ah, okay. Now you see my Malay skills are not very good. It's so powerful, this car, that if it's a little slippery, so it's that relevance, staying top of mind for the target audience in the premium luxury market. Yeah. And now I don't know if you're ever going to be ready to purchase a Mercedes-Benz, but that's irrelevant for me. I want to be the most beloved and leading luxury lifestyle brand in Malaysia or across the region. And even if you're not in our target market, but if you believe that Mercedes-Benz is that iconic luxury brand, not only which stands for the traditional luxury elements, but also for the modern progressive luxury, and that image is out there in the market, yeah, that's also what the people buy into that Mercedes-Benz family element. And that's very important. And it's also different aspects. So we invest a lot into the Malaysian market. We locally produce. We've got many CSR activities which we're growing. Most of our activities are not targeted at the hard sell tomorrow. It's long-term branding topics, which then pay off, in my view. Now, can I associate one single KPI to it? No, I don't even want to. For me, it's the general perception in the market which we have, which I feel over the last 4.5 years, we've done a fantastic job in enhancing that perception.
Currently, you can buy 47 different Mercedes cars from 230,000 ringgit to 1.8 million ringgit. And wherever you sit on the price point, 300,000, 500,000, 800,000, you'd still have plenty of Mercedes cars to choose from. This approach by Mercedes bucks the trend of the Malaysian automotive industry. Manufacturers had always refused to bring in their more interesting cars because, one, car prices are so high, so if the car flops, their losses will be huge. And two, there never seemed to be a market for these special cars. And for comparison's sake, BMW's entire lineup has 21 models, Audi's new lineup has 10, and Volvo sells you 14 cars only.
I mean, obviously you've got a certain risk element involved and you've got certain concerns. Yeah. But I think which has really shown, we as a brand have become a lot more daring in comparison to what we used to be. And that has paid off to a certain degree. If you want to be successful in the modern day market environment, being cautious, in my view, is not going to get you anywhere. I mean, obviously you have to evaluate the risk and you need to be sure that you don't overdo it, but being daring, being out there, giving people options, that's part of our business portfolio. And I think it really shows those brands which have had the guts to invest, to push boundaries, yeah, those ones are the successful brands of the modern day. And if you just go with the flow, then I think you become irrelevant at some stage because the clientele, especially in the luxury market, become more and more demanding. And my philosophy was the other way around. I show them the possibilities and they then kind of come to the realization, oh, there's more to it. I'm not going to wait for them to discover, oh, let me look if I want to have SUVs or coupes or whatever. And I'll give you the latest example. I'm a firm believer that the next game changer to the Malaysian automotive market is crossovers. And that's why I said, okay, let's go ahead and be daring and locally produce a GLC coupe in Malaysia, being a crossover. Because I believe the market in Malaysia has progressed from being a traditional three-box design market to the compact cars and SUVs. And preempting those trends is vitally important. I mean, like always, you're not going to be right on all the topics. Also, if you look at the localization of the C43 and the GLC43, that was completely bucking the trend of the automotive market. Last year, we delivered 550 AMGs to customers in Malaysia. Now, nobody would have expected that there are 550 people in a year who can afford an AMG in Malaysia. But it showed that if you offer that variety to customers, that they are willing to go that way. And for me, it was crystal clear. If you look around Malaysia, how many hundreds and thousands of MyVs are tuned and people take great pride in their cars. Now, if you know that, you can act on it. And a lot of people now buy a C43 instead of something else. And if you've got a budget for a car of 400,000 ringgit, the traditional choice is an E350 at 399,000. Now, maybe I'm a bit younger or I've got different requirements in a car. The E-Class feels like, don't get me wrong, a bit too old, feels like my dad's car. Now, for the same amount of money, I can get a C43. And then I say, now we're talking, that's my car. Yeah. And that's also where the GLC Coupe comes in. Same price bracket, you can have a GLC Coupe. I can give the consumer option saying, okay, what's your requirement? What's your mindset? What's your attitude? What's your personal situation? And then we see what's the best option for them. And if you've got, in let's say one price bracket, 3, 4, 5, 6 different options, customers appreciate that. And I think we've really moved the market in a sense.
So the next question I had was, why don't other manufacturers do this?
I think Malaysians have a lot of options in different vehicles, but the individualization, the personalization, that's where a lot of brands are lacking. So Malaysian customers are so hungry to have unique cars in a way, a lot more could be done. Why other brands don't do it, I can't really tell you that. But I think what I've done, I've rattled the cage for the market. A lot of people see what Mercedes-Benz is doing, and the question they're asking is, if Mercedes-Benz is doing, why don't other brands do it? And I think the speed and the vengeance and the urgency we've come with and what we've installed into the market, I think a lot of other brands will be challenged to also be more competitive in their product offering, if you say it that way.
Mark Rain has moved to Mercedes-Benz South Korea for a different challenge in a very big market. His team have been successful in engaging with the dealers, the media, the customers, and it really shows in the 5 years of record sales. But is he satisfied with how the brand has changed over the past 5 years?
Yes, I mean, for me, it was very important, and I thoroughly enjoyed, to be part of the Malaysian market, to be fully integrated. So especially at the beginning, I made it a point that every 6 months I want to visit every dealer in Malaysia. Having that presence, feeling what the customers require, what they want from us, was very, very important, because I mean, after all, our biggest deal is to serve the customer and to provide them with what they are looking for. And for me, it's the Malaysian market, although it's probably a smaller market, still very diverse. So being out there, having those touch points with the customer was something I thoroughly enjoyed. I think it was also higher executives of international corporates come not only to KL but also more outstation, and they take the time, they're sincere about it in caring for the customer. And that, for me, one point was important. I knew that we do things right, we're going to be successful, but I didn't want to be perceived as arrogant, aloof in a way. I wanted Mercedes-Benz to be a luxury brand, but it has to be approachable. And I'm very happy that it's the little actions which change it. I think it's also people seeing that you're sincere and open and honest about it, the engagement with people of all walks of life. Now, I drew a lot out of that, but I hope that also people enjoyed that in a way.
It's an interesting take on the premium luxury car market, and you could argue that we've seen some effect of this boldness on other manufacturers. The local assembly of the Mercedes GLC Coupe forced BMW Malaysia to do the same with the X4, and therefore creating a very competitive market at that price range, and for that sort of car. It seems that these days we're seeing a lot more introductions of more bespoke vehicles at more daring and competitive prices. And if this continues, it's good for consumers too, because Malaysians do need range and variations in the car market for the prices that we pay. But aside from how the car market will respond in the near future, it will be interesting to see what Mercedes-Benz Malaysia's new vice president, Michael Yop, has planned for the next 5 years. Will we continue to see aggressive marketing strategies and product launches to go with the global EV rush? Or will we see a steady approach in light of the upcoming national automotive policy? That's the question that Malaysians will have for now, I suppose. This has been Cruise Control with me, Arif Roos. And if you've missed any part of this show, you can find the podcast on our BFM app, on Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Tell us what you think about this show or this part of the show on Twitter at BFM Radio or on Instagram at BFM Cruise Control. The show returns next Wednesday with Daniel Fernandez and Richard Bradbury as usual. And until then, this has been Cruise Control on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.